The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our theme for this morning on this festival of the Transfiguration is the beauty of life. And I want to be clear that this is not some general warm, fuzzy, feel-good idea that, well, gee, life is just great. See, Christians can, and if we're honest, we have to acknowledge that the world isn't always beautiful. Our own hearts are not always beautiful. But still, we can, and if we are to be faithful, we have to talk about the beauty of life. Even where there is ugliness, darkness, fear, or despair, there is still a glory and a beauty that cannot be taken away, that cannot be destroyed. And the story of the Transfiguration is about that very specifically Christ-shaped glory that can, if we have the eyes to see it, make all of life enduringly beautiful. Now, in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke, this story is sort of a pivot point. Right before Jesus goes up the mountain with Peter and James and John, he has just started to teach them that the fact that he is the Son of God means that he's going to die by human hands. He is the Messiah, but a Messiah who will save the world through suffering. And the disciples haven't quite figured out what to make of this yet, but it is casting a shadow over them. And then from this point forward, Jesus will be ever more focused on his journey to Jerusalem, where the religious leaders will conspire with the Roman government to destroy him. And at this vital junction, when so much seems dark, he takes his closest friends apart, and his glory is revealed. There is divine brightness. The road may be difficult, but this is no ordinary guide that these disciples have. They are following the Beloved Son of God. Now, the Transfiguration is also sort of a pivot for us today. Our theme for the last 2 months has been blessing in the mess. And I know some might feel that's kind of depressing. The mess? I mean, don't we want church to take us out of the mess? Make us feel better? Well, I don't think it's depressing at all. First of all, I think it's realistic. following Jesus is not a fairy tale where everything magically works out. We need to be equipped to handle, by faith, the trials and struggles that will inevitably come. I also think this attitude is more hopeful. See, instead of having to pretend that there won't be difficulty or pain or questions, and while we're pretending, also sort of inwardly cringing in fear that all of that will eventually come, isn't it better to be able to be confident that no matter what comes, we can still be blessed? It's more realistic, it's more hopeful, and finally, it's more faithful. This may not go over too well, but the purpose of the church is not to make us feel better. It may make us feel better, I hope it does, but that's not the purpose. The purpose is rather to shape us together into the image of Christ. To come together so that we can be trained to follow Jesus and to live life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means facing life in all of its complicated, confusing, messy reality. Okay. So it might be realistic, it might be hopeful, it might be faithful, but still, I know as we've been going through the Beatitudes, there's a real risk we can end up thinking, man, this Jesus is depressing. All this talk about poor in spirit, hungering and thirsting, suffering, being meek, and that's supposed to be blessed? Does God want us to be miserable? Well, that's why we're ending the series on Transfiguration Sunday. See, what happened up on that mountain was a pulling back of the veil of merely human vision. A peek behind the heavenly curtain into the true reality of who Jesus really is. Yes, as he has been telling his disciples, he will be rejected. And he will suffer and die. And yes, we who follow him will have to carry our own crosses and die to ourselves. But Jesus isn't talking about a road to misery and hopelessness. The pathway that he's calling us to follow him on is a road to life and to freedom. Christianity is not darkness and despair. It's glory and light. And see, that's what the Transfiguration shows us. Nothing at all. No cloud of uncertainty. No shadow of suffering. Not sin. Not even death itself can rob Jesus of his majesty. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. And his kingdom that is coming into the world, that is coming to us, is one of peace and joy and grace. He conquers evil, not by force, but by forgiveness. He's not a tyrant. He's a Lord who wins the world over with love. And he redeems his people by giving himself away freely to you on the cross, in baptism, in his word of scripture, in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Jesus is Lord by giving himself away. And that means something truly incredible for all of us. The glory that we saw in Jesus on that mountain of Transfiguration, that same glory will one day be yours. See, the Beatitudes tell us that in your struggles, in the trials and the messes of life, God is at work in all of it to create holiness and beauty inside of you. And so the Transfiguration simply reveals the spiritual truth that life's messes often cover up. Jesus is able to use all of life's circumstances. And he's able to use them as the raw material, not to drag us down, but to rescue us, to recreate us, to reshape you into his image. See, that's what God's true blessing is, to make you more like Jesus. And the Transfiguration is his way of showing us just how good that news really is. It's God's way of saying, trust my Son. Follow him. Listen to him. This is his glory, and he's going to share it with you. Jesus is the beauty of life. It's the beauty of love and mercy and peace found in his sacrifice on the cross. He brings light into darkness, and he transforms noise into harmony. Yeah, life is messy. It is. But Jesus came to give you the blessing of redemption and joy in the middle of the messes. Following him is not going to make your life magically easier. And in fact, to be honest, it'll often bring you right into the places of struggle and trial. Jesus calls us to die to ourselves. But the life that he gives you in exchange is infinitely beautiful. So look at the Transfiguration. That is the gift that he will make real in you. Trust in this Jesus. Listen to him. He is God's beloved Son. Receive him as he comes to you in his word, through prayer, in praise, in fellowship, and most powerfully in his body and blood. He will give you the beauty of life, and you will be blessed no matter what the messes. Amen.